We've just studied three of the letters in the New Testament that were written by the Apostle John. We studied 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. John had a very close friend who was also an apostle. His name was Peter. And Peter wrote two of the New Testament letters or epistles. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2, he's identified as the writer of the letter we call 1 Peter. And then in 2 Peter 1, in verse 1, he's identified as the writer of the letter we call 2 Peter. Peter's a very important character in the early church. As a matter of fact, quite a section of the book of Acts has to do with the work of Peter. And then there's a transition to the work of the Apostle Paul. But the first part of the book of Acts centers primarily on the work that was accomplished by Peter. He's a very important New Testament character, and he's a very interesting character. And I think it would be good for us to study his writings. He's one who knew the Lord personally. We mentioned that many times in reference to John. John said, I heard the Lord, I saw the Lord, I touched the Lord. And John presented evidence showing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came in the flesh. Well, the Apostle Peter knew the Lord personally as well. So as we study his writings, we're actually studying the word of the Lord. Remember that Jesus told the apostles when he gave the Great Commission to teach those who had been baptized into him to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded them. So as we study the teachings of the apostles, we're actually studying the things that Jesus taught them. So as we study the writings of Peter, we're able to learn the Lord's will. Now the letters that Peter wrote need to be carefully studied and they need to be applied properly, because they were written to Christians. That's a good reason for us to study them. But also, we need to keep in mind that the authority for Peter's teaching actually came from heaven. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16 for just a moment and read a few verses. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the disciples what people had to say concerning his identity. They responded by some thought that he was John the Baptist, some thought he was Elijah, others thought he was Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But the Lord said, who do you say that I am? That's in verse 15. Let's start at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now notice this especially. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So as Peter went forth teaching, he did so with authority from heaven. Well, we want to spend some time studying the writings of Peter. I believe I started going through 1 Peter about 11 years ago or so and never did finish it. So I'd like to go back and finish that study. But before we begin a study of 1 Peter, I think it'd be good for us to spend some time looking at some general information about Peter himself. I love to study Bible characters. And I think the Bible teaches us to do that. If you have any question about that, read Hebrews chapter 11. Because we find a number of great men and women of faith from the Old Testament mentioned as examples for our faith today. We read about the things that they accomplished through faith, and they make up that great cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 that we're surrounded by, and they provide a tremendous amount of encouragement for us. So The Bible actually teaches us to study the characters that we read about in it very carefully. We can learn from their mistakes, and we can also learn from their points of faith or their strong points. Right now, I'm studying some passages in my daily Bible reading that have to do with David. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? By no means. He made some dreadful mistakes. We can learn from the mistakes that he made, but we can also be inspired by the great faith that he demonstrated on numerous occasions, and we can be impressed by his love for the Lord. So I think it'd be good for us to spend at least one lesson, maybe two, looking at some general information concerning Peter himself. In my judgment, that will help us as we study the things that he wrote. Well, we know that Peter's given name was Simon. That's a very common name in the New Testament. But he was also called Peter. We learn that from Matthew 4 and verse 18. In John 1 and verse 42, Jesus named him Cephas. So keep in mind, sometimes Peter is referred to as Peter. Sometimes he's referred to as Simon. In the book of Acts, James even referred to him as Simeon, which is another form of the name Simon. But also, Peter's identified as Cephas. So just keep in mind that those names are used in reference to him. Now, there are other Bible characters named Simon as well, so you have to be very careful when you're studying. Peter's name was Jonah, according to John 1 in verse 42. And Jonah's name also appears as Jonas, John 21 in verse 15. Now, as we just read in Matthew 16, Jesus referred to Peter as Simon Bar-Jonah. That expression Bar, B-A-R, means son of. So Jesus identified Peter as Simon, son of Jonah, or on another occasion, son of Jonas. Now, in our culture today, we have a first name and a last name. That's just the way we do things today. Back in that day and time, I would have been known as Raymond, son of Albert, or Raymond Bar Albert. Now, if we use that particular expression today, someone would look at you like you've maybe lost a few things along the line. But that's the way that names were identified many, many years ago in Palestine. So just keep that thought in mind. Jesus did refer to Peter as Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonah. That prefix, B-A-R, means son of. We know that Peter had a brother. His name was Andrew. And in just a little while, we want to read about the occasion when Andrew brought Peter to the Lord. I think it's interesting that we know very little about Andrew. I remember when I was studying the Gospel of John in school, the teacher made an observation. He said, although we do not know much about Andrew, whenever he is mentioned, it's in connection with either bringing something or someone to the Lord. And I checked that out, and sure enough, that's the case. There was an occasion when Andrew was involved in many people being fed with a small amount of food. He was there to know that there was a little boy there with some food. Also, we'll see that he brought his brother Peter to the Lord. So we know very little about Andrew. We know a lot about Peter, and Peter accomplished much. But you know, if it hadn't been for Jonah, there wouldn't have been a Peter. And if there had not been an Andrew, Peter would not have been brought to the Lord. So we need to express our appreciation to the Lord for Jonah, the father of Peter, as well as Andrew, the brother of Peter. According to Matthew 4 and verse 18, Peter was a fisherman. He and Andrew apparently worked together. And Peter, according to Luke 5 and verse 10, was a partner with James and John. Now, they were also apostles. We just studied three of the letters written by John. His brother was James. They're known as the sons of Zebedee. Their father was Zebedee. And when Jesus called them to be his followers, they left their nets and they left their father as well. And according to Matthew 8 and verse 14, Peter was married. This has to do with one of the Lord's miracles. I want you to notice who is involved. Matthew 8 and verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. These verses clearly teach that Peter was a married man. You know, he had a lot on his plate. He left his fishing business to follow the Lord. That also involved being away from his family. But Peter made great sacrifices in order to follow Christ, and the Lord blessed him abundantly. That same teacher I mentioned just a few moments ago had a little saying. I've told it to you before. I particularly like it. He observed that the Lord can take a bad man and make a good man out of him. He can take a good man and make a better man out of him. I think Peter illustrates that point very well. Peter was a good man, but the Lord made a better man out of him. You can see Peter's development through the gospel accounts. He made a number of errors. There's one thing about Peter. Whenever he fell down, he always got up. And he apparently learned from his mistakes to avoid them in the future. Well, these are some personal things that we know about Peter. Let's talk about his service to the Lord for a few moments. I mentioned this just a few moments ago, but let's read about the occasion when Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 1. And start at verse 35. John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. How grateful we need to be to Andrew for bringing his brother to the Lord. Think about how many people Peter influenced and still influences today. We don't have any writings of Andrew. But we need to be grateful that Andrew loved his brother enough to bring him to Jesus. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. We've referred to these verses several times, but we need to keep in mind that Peter left his fishing business to follow the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, let's start at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I think it's interesting that at this early stage, Peter left his fishing business to follow the Lord. Now, if you look at this chronologically speaking, this was not the first time that Peter met Jesus. We just read about that in John chapter 1 when Andrew brought Simon Peter to the Lord. This apparently was sometime later. And they were actually fishing. And Jesus called upon these men to follow him. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. Don't you know that got their attention? They knew about the fishing business. But he said something about being made fishers of men. Well, they left their nets straightway, the Bible says, and they followed the Lord. Now, Peter, concerning his service to the Lord, served Jesus as an apostle. Notice how he is mentioned in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 2. Now, there are several lists of the apostles in the gospel accounts. Every list begins with the same apostle, and every list concludes with the same apostle. Now, you'll find that several of the apostles had several names. By comparing all of these lists, we're able to learn the various names that they were called. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Peter served the Lord as an apostle. Now, this was the occasion when Jesus selected his 12 disciples from among his many disciples, and he sent them out on what's called the limited commission. He gave them miraculous power. He told them what to do. At that time, he said, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. But you only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why it's called the limited commission. And the apostles did that. It was limited in its scope. They came back, and according to Luke's account, they were able to give a glowing report of the things that they were able to accomplish. But there's another way in which Peter served the Lord. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now John referred to himself as the elder, meaning one who was of advanced age, an older man. But here Peter was serving as an elder in the church in the sense of being an officer who met the qualifications given to by the Apostle Paul to Timothy and to Titus. So Peter was giving some instructions to elders, but he also mentioned the fact that he himself was an elder. I think it's interesting that Peter was both an apostle and an elder. In Matthew 16 and verse 19 that we've already read, Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. Now, a key is something that we use to open a door so that we can enter some facility or some building. Got a few keys right here. Each one of them goes to a different lock. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering which lock it goes to. I've got a number of keys that belong to different customers of mine, and I have to label them so that I won't get them confused. But you know what a key is for. You use it to unlock a door so you can go in. Jesus informed Peter in Matthew 16 that he would be given the keys of the kingdom. In other words, he would be given the responsibility of showing people how to enter the kingdom of God. And we'll see in just a few moments that Peter was the main spokesman on the day of Pentecost. And who was it that first went to the Gentiles? It was the Apostle Peter. The Lord gave him a tremendous responsibility, and Peter did his work well. Now, he had to be convinced to go to the Gentiles, but we studied about that case of conversion not long ago. Peter finally listened to what the Lord wanted him to do, and he learned an important lesson, that he was not to call anyone common or unclean. Well, those are some points made in the Bible concerning Peter's service to the Lord. Let's talk for a few moments about some of his activities. He was a very busy man. He accomplished much on behalf of the Lord. Peter did something that only the Lord himself did. No other man's ever done it. He walked on the Sea of Galilee. We read about that in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Let's start at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You know what a great cure for fear is? Listening to the Lord's word. What Jesus spoke on that occasion, we're able to read his word in the Bible. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And that's an interesting request, isn't it? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Would you have ever taken that first step? Well, from my standpoint, I would have said, it's not possible for a man to walk on water. Now, Jesus was doing it. And Peter said, "Bid me come to you." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter did something that no other man's ever done. He walked on the water. Then what happened ought to teach us an important lesson. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Well, Peter walked on the Sea of Galilee. Now, when he saw all the storm around him and so forth, fear took hold. He began to sink. But to his credit, he cried out to the Lord to save him. And the Lord did. Now, these are some things that happened during the Lord's ministry. We've just seen that he walked on the Sea of Galilee. He also identified Jesus as the Son of God. We've already read about that in Matthew chapter 16. Remember, Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there were several responses: John, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" It was Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter was very direct in his response, wasn't he? There was no doubt in his mind. He knew that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But there's another occasion when Peter made a similar statement. In John chapter 6, earlier in this chapter, Jesus had been teaching on some issues that were rather challenging. And verse 66 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." As I have said many times, I believe that's one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. Many people who had followed the Lord, who had heard him, who had seen his miracles, turned their backs on him. They walked no more with him. Now put yourself in the Lord's position for just a moment. I know that's a challenge for us to do, but try. How would you have felt if many of your followers turned their backs on you and left? I can't help but think that that bothered Christ. I believe we see that in verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?" Now that could come out in various ways. I know that. I'm very much aware of it. The way I said it would kind of give the impression that maybe the Lord was upset. But he did ask the disciples, "Will you also go away?" I believe the Lord could have used just a little bit of encouragement about that time. Who rose to the occasion? "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter basically said the same thing that he said in Matthew 16. He identified Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. But on this occasion, I believe the Lord needed to hear those words from one of his followers, because many of his followers just left. And Peter didn't just say, "You're the Christ." He said, "We believe and are sure." In other words, there's no doubt in his mind. And notice that he's speaking on behalf of the other apostles. We. So Peter, I believe, spoke some beautiful words on that occasion. And I think he said those words at a wonderful time. But when we think about Peter's activities during the Lord's ministry, we need to keep in mind that he did deny Christ. We read about that in Matthew chapter 26. Now, this is mentioned several times in the Gospels, but we want to consider Matthew's account. Matthew 26, let's start at verse 31. "Then Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the apostles." Peter stated very strongly that he would never deny Christ. Have you ever heard the expression, never say never? Well, we've heard that for years and probably have said it many times. Peter said, I will never deny you, Lord. Well, he did. Go down to verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now this time he used an oath. The purpose for making an oath is to try to convince someone else that you're telling the truth. Now earlier, Peter just said, I do not know the man. But this time he made that statement with an oath. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. This time he's cursing and swearing. And immediately the cock crew. Now Luke's account tells us that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. I take it from that Peter was nearby the Lord. But Jesus turned and looked at him. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And in my judgment, Peter did about the only thing he could do. He went out and wept bitterly. That was a low point in Peter's life. But you know what? He never denied Jesus again. He did on that occasion, although he said he would never do it. I think he learned an important lesson, and he teaches us an important lesson today. Well, these are a few of Peter's activities while Jesus was fulfilling his ministry. But we read about many of his activities after the Lord's resurrection. Remember, one of the qualifications for being an apostle was seeing the Lord in his resurrected state. In other words, they actually had to see him, be eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus had risen from the grave. Because they would go forth and tell people, Jesus died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. I saw him. Well, they were witnesses in that sense, and that's the way in which the Bible uses the term witness. Well, Peter actually was among those who saw Jesus in his resurrected state. Let's look at John chapter 20 and read about the occasion when he came to the empty tomb. Now, can you remember the first one to see Jesus after his resurrection? Mary Magdalene. Well, let's read about it. John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Remember that Jesus was buried late in the afternoon, and some temporary care was given to his body. And there were some ladies who made special note of the location of the tomb. And their intention was to return after the Sabbath day and to do some additional preparation of the Lord's body. They had completely different burial customs than we have today, so just keep that in mind. So Mary comes back, the Sabbath is over, it's early on the first day of the week. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Now Mary has announced to Peter and John that the Lord's body is not there in the tomb. They take off to the tomb. John outran Peter. John got there first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So Peter, after hearing that Jesus was not in the tomb, went with John to the burial place. It was after this that Jesus actually appeared to Mary. She didn't recognize him at first, but when he said, Mary, she knew it was Jesus, and she referred to him as Rabboni, or Master. Peter visited the empty tomb. Can you remember the agreement with the soldiers that if there was any question about the empty tomb, what they were supposed to say? They were supposed to say, while we were asleep, his followers came and stole the body. Do you know what would have been the penalty for soldiers asleep on duty? That was just absurd. But a lot of money was paid to try to sweep this under the rug. The tomb was empty. Peter saw that the tomb was empty. He actually went in and he saw the grave clothes lying there. The Lord was not there. In John chapter 21, Peter saw Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. Chapter 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is another name for Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Sound like some of my fishing trips. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it, as it were, 200 cubits. Dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Well, this is an occasion when Jesus appeared to Peter as well as some of the other disciples. Jesus was with his disciples for a period of 40 days. At the end of that 40-day period, he ascended to heaven. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Of course, that had reference to the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came about 10 days later on the day of Pentecost, and we read about that in Acts chapter 2. All the disciples were gathered together, but I want you to notice who the main spokesman was. Acts 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. That was the beginning of one powerful sermon, and it's recorded in this chapter. Earlier, you see, there were many people in Jerusalem. All the areas where they were from are listed in the verses that lead up to these verses. And people spoke a number of languages. The apostles were baptized in the Spirit, and they were able to speak languages that they didn't know. You see, that gave them the ability to speak with people in their own native tongues. And when the people heard the apostles doing that, they wondered, what's the meaning of this? Of course, there were some mockers who accused them of being drunk. And Peter said, that can't be because it's only the third hour of the day. Then he made his statement that we just read in verse 14. But Peter was the main spokesman on Pentecost. Now, he was joined by the 11. Now, keep in mind that Judas, by this time, had taken his own life, but Matthias had been chosen to take his place. So, there are 12 apostles. Peter with the 11. And Peter serving as the main spokesman. Sometimes I try to imagine what that was like. This little group of 12 men in front of thousands of people in Jerusalem for that very special feast day. By the way, Pentecost was observed 50 days from the Passover Sabbath, always on the first day of the week. It was a one-day feast, and the Old Testament gave instructions for observing that feast. Very important day for the Jewish people. There's a great crowd assembled in Jerusalem. I'd like to have seen this little group of men, fishermen, a publican, people from different walks of life, are all together, and they've got something to say. And Peter was the main spokesman. In Acts chapter 3, Peter, along with John, healed a man who was born lame. I like to contrast this with the miracle that Jesus performed in the Gospel of John when he gave sight to a man who was born blind. On that occasion, the apostles asked, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There's none of that on this occasion. They were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. See, God's kingdom has been established, and they're in it. And Peter is given the responsibility of giving the keys of the kingdom. The Lord gave those keys to him. He was responsible for announcing those keys. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer and came upon this man who was born lame. And Peter healed him. The man was leaping around the temple area, praising God, and the crowd saw it. They knew him. They recognized him. They gathered around Peter and John. Well, there was a ready-made audience. And Peter preached to them about the resurrected Lord. Of course, as chapter 4 begins, they were taken into custody because the Sadducees, who were Jewish leaders, did not believe in the resurrection. They were grieved that they were teaching people about the resurrection. But that even led to Peter having something to say to those people who were trying him. And in Acts 4, we just mentioned that Peter and John were arrested, taken into custody, but Peter spoke with great courage. And he had an opportunity to speak on behalf of the Lord. And he took advantage of that opportunity. In Acts chapter 5, we read about the first scandal in the church. Ananias and Sapphira lied. Peter was involved in pointing out their sins to them. And those people lost their lives because of what they did. Peter was involved in that. In Acts chapter 9, he brought Dorcas back to life. And in Acts chapter 10 that we studied just recently, he taught Cornelius and his household how to become Christians. That's important because they were the first Gentile converts. Well, it was only right for Peter to go because the Lord gave him the keys of the kingdom. He announced those keys to the Jewish people. He also announced those keys to the Gentiles. And then there was a council that took place in Jerusalem about what to do with Gentile converts. Peter spoke up about the conversion of Cornelius, and that pretty much helped to settle the issue. Of course, Paul and Barnabas also spoke up, and then James, the Lord's brother, spoke up, and that matter was settled. So these are some of Peter's activities that we read about in the New Testament. We read about several of his activities while the Lord was fulfilling his ministry. But then after Jesus ascended to heaven, we read about many things that Peter was involved in. And not the least of which was he wrote two inspired letters. Lord willing, next Wednesday evening, we want to begin a study of the first one.